Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Okay, so by a show of hands, how many of you would say, as soon as I'm told to clean my room, I just clean it right away? All right. Hey. We're not going to judge others. We're going to talk about that later this week. Right? Good. How many of you do it, but you have a really bad attitude about it? But, okay, I'll do it. Nice. Okay. How many of you, when it should take maybe 30 minutes or an hour, it takes you much, 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 much longer than that? Okay. How many of you would say, you know what? I'm super neat, so my room never gets dirty. Okay. That's good. All right. Well, tonight, cleaning your room is kind of a simple thing. It's a simple question, but how you obey it when you hear your parent tell you to do that actually says something. It says something about you. And it says something about what your view of them is. And now we can take this a step back and think as a whole, how you obey God shows what you really think about Him. How you hear God's word and then respond shows if you have respect, love, or if you don't really care about God that much. Maybe you've heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Have you heard that? Well, we're going to learn about that tonight. And so our passage in James is going to center around this idea of both hearing and doing, and specifically as it relates to God's word. So follow along as we read James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. We're going to read the whole thing. Here's what it says. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Wow, there's a lot in this passage, guys. But I hope you caught James's main point that we're looking at tonight, that I hear what God's word says, but it means nothing unless I do it. Let's look at where he opens this passage, back in verse 19. Listen to these challenges. James writes, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That is a great lesson, guys. So at the church I was at before I came to UCC, I was not the youth pastor there, but I was on the elder board. And we were going over some major changes because we had a pastoral transition going on where the lead pastor had moved on, and now we were in search for a new pastor. And so I happened to be a part of that process of conducting interviews. And I can remember sitting in meetings, and I was a person, this was, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, I was a person who never failed to share what I thought. I'm a pretty blunt person. I'm pretty direct. If I feel something or I think something, I'm going to say it. But I began to grow frustrated because it felt like what I had to say wasn't really being taken into account. Maybe you felt this, where you're sharing something, but it kind of falls on deaf ears. And so I had a conversation with one of our other elders, and it really opened my eyes. He said, "Matt, yes, you have wisdom, and we can appreciate that. But sometimes you need to just listen. You don't always have to share your opinion." And I thought, I mean, I was an adult man at this point, but I was like, huh, okay. So at the next meeting, I intentioned that I wasn't going to say anything. I'm just going to listen. There's an idea. Don't have to share my opinion all the time. And so we're sitting at this meeting, and we're just kind of, you know, the elders are discussing, you know, the transition and some of the candidates we were interviewing and what we were going to do for the next steps. And I was just sitting there taking notes, taking it all in, just listening. Well, about 3/4 of the way through the evening, a different elder looked at me and he said, "Matt, you're being kind of quiet. What are your thoughts?" And so then I was able to share, and it was like, wow, you know, I said a lot less in this meeting, but it carried a lot more weight because I said less. Maybe you guys know someone like that. I know several people like that who may not say a lot, but when they speak, you listen, because what they say holds weight. It matters. Because they don't just, whatever is in my mind comes out there. They're slow to speak. They're quick to listen. So practically speaking, this is an excellent way to demonstrate a heart of humility, of receptiveness. You don't always have to be quick to speak or quick to get angry. It's best to slow down and listen. Because look at what anger does. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so anger ends up being this bad fruit. But Proverbs tells us a soft answer turns away wrath. So there's such value, and James is drawing this out, for us to listen first, to approach people with humility and meekness, and especially to approach God's word. Did you catch that? Verse 21, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Receive God's word. Listen. That is an important step, is to hear God's word. And so I pray for you all this week. You have an opportunity that you don't typically get to be in the Word yourself, to come to sessions like this one, to have conversations with your cabin. You get a chance to slow down, remove all of these distractions that are a part of our typical everyday lives, and really listen with humility to God's word. This is a major reason why students tell me all the time, "Yeah, camp was the best week of my year. It's the best week of my summer. I feel like I grew so much." It's because you take time to actually listen with humility. But we can't just be hearers. The second part of this passage challenges us to not just hear the word, but to do it. Verse 22, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James says it is foolish to think that you love God if you simply listen to his word but don't do it. In fact, Jesus, in John 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so it is not just about hearing Jesus' words or reading the Bible for ourselves. It is also about putting into practice, doing what God's word tells us. This is critical. And then he uses this beautiful illustration. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Love this illustration. Maybe not some of you boys, but how many of you tend to look at yourself in the mirror and you kind of do your hair and you make sure it's not unkempt? And maybe not some of the boys, but I was just kidding. That was a joke. Get it? Middle school boys are gross. It's funny. Anyway, this actually happened to me today. I looked in the mirror today, this morning, and I thought to myself, man, I need a shave and a haircut. I look terrible. But did I do anything about it? As you can see, I did not. I still have this awful-looking beard. And I have this hair that kind of poofs out on the sides, right? Hey, thanks. All right, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. The point is, I love this illustration that God's word is a mirror. When we look at God's word, it shows us what about ourselves needs to change. It reveals to us what is uncombed hair, so to speak, or blemishes on our face. Right? It shows us what our problems are. But too often we read God's word and we think, oh yeah, sure, I have a problem with anger. But then I close it and I walk away and I don't do anything to change. I don't do anything to pursue changing from anger to kindness and patience. And so what good is that mirror? What good is God's word if it shows me the sin in my life, what I need to work on, but I do nothing about it? Doesn't do me any good. It's absolutely worthless. And so James is challenging us to think, is God's word pointless in your life? If you read it and go to church and you're taught it and you listen to it and you have a small group or whatever, but your life looks exactly the same week after week after week, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter. It's not doing at all what God's word is intended to do. I love this illustration. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I love this. There is great blessing, friends, and being transformed by the word of God. In hearing and seeing the wickedness in your own life, the filthiness that he describes as running rampant, to see that and to be able to, through the Spirit of God and the word of God, overcome sin, guys, that is such a huge blessing. That is incredible. And so I love hearing stories of students in my youth group that tell me, you know what, I've struggled with this sin for years, but you know what, I'm finally getting victory. I'm finally overcoming. God is working in my life to remove this sin, this struggle I've been dealing with for a long time. Those are some of the most glorious encouraging conversations that I just get to listen and hear about what God is doing in their life. Because they're not just hearing the word, they are doing it. And they are experiencing God's blessing because of it. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious... Oh, by the way, before we read this, James is about to outline for us all of the things he's going to talk about. This is such a cool ending to chapter 1. Because he's basically going to say, yep, I'm going to talk about that. Yep, and I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to talk about that. And he does so right after this section. So he's saying, look, the mirror is here, guys. Here's the mirror. You examine yourself right now. So examine your own life as we read these final verses of chapter 1. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I look at the mirror. What's my language like? What's my tongue like? Is it used to tear people down? Is it used to lie? Is it used to be proud? I'm looking at the mirror. Am I going to be a doer of the word and make changes, or am I just simply going to say, ah, it's not a big gossip, not a big deal. Making fun of others, tearing them down with my words, not a big deal. I'm going to forget what I look like. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. He's going to talk about this in the next section. Do you show favoritism? Or do you reach out to others who maybe are in terrible situations? Do you reach out to those who can't do anything for you? That's really the sign of love, guys. You say, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to love you, even though I know that you have nothing to offer me. That's what these widows and orphans are. That's how they're being described. They have no standing. They have no money or possessions. They just need help. And pure religion comes alongside those who are in desperate need and says, I'll help you through it. I'll help carry your burden. And then the last one, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. It's a very general statement, very broad. Will you allow the world's way of thinking lead to what you believe and do, or will you allow God's word to transform your life, transform your mind, transform your tongue, transform your heart, transform your hands? That's the question. Will you be just a hearer, or will you truly hear with humility and also be a doer? Our big idea for tonight. The one who humbly receives the word of God responds correctly by putting it into action. Notice the heart attitude. There is a humble reception. There is humble, there is meekness in the hearing. But then I am also being a doer. Now, I opened this lesson talking about cleaning your room. I have a confession to make. I actually haven't told my wife this yet. My wife and kids are in the back. They're so great. Okay. So here we go. I haven't told my wife this. When Julie and our kids recently, just a couple weeks ago, we're in Indiana, that's where we live, went back to Pennsylvania to her home church to help out with VBS. And so I still had work to do at the church. I was still doing my normal thing. So I stayed for a week at my house all alone. Sad. I felt so lonely. But before she left, she was getting ready to do the dishes that were in the sink. She's like, I got to get these done. I said, you know what? I am such a loving, excellent husband. I will do the dishes for you while you're gone. And she said, okay, thanks. And so she left. So she left on a Monday. Did I do the dishes on Monday? Thank you for believing in me, but I did not. I appreciate that. Did I do the dishes on Tuesday? Nope. Did I do the... She got back Saturday. Great question. Did I do the dishes on Wednesday? No. Did I do the dishes on Thursday? No. Did I do the dishes on Friday? Yes, I did. Hey, Friday. Yeah. But here's the thing. I knew I was supposed to do it. I said I would, and I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And the dishes just sat in the sink. Do you know what happened? I got to the last pan in the bottom. This is the part I didn't tell her. I got to the last pan in the bottom of the sink, and it was absolutely covered in maggots. Isn't that disgusting? I put it off, and I let it basically fester in the bottom of the sink so that when I lifted up the last pan, maggots everywhere, because I didn't deal with it when I said I was going to. How's that for a picture? Isn't that disgusting? Actually, that night, I cleaned it. I felt like it was the right thing to do. Okay. But, listen to this. That night, I actually had a nightmare of sorts. I forget what was happening in the dream, but I grabbed a tissue and I blew my nose, and it was just maggots coming out of my nose. That was my dream. Well deserved, right? The point is, guys, the point is that I knew what I was supposed to do, and I put it off, and I put it off, and it began to fester and get absolutely disgusting. The same is true with your life and with my life. The longer you wait to deal with sin that you are struggling with, the harder it becomes to actually get rid of it. And so I'm challenging you tonight, what are those sins in your life that God is pointing out to you? And he is challenging you, and he's saying to you, you need to get rid of this. Can't put it off anymore, guys. It gets harder and harder and harder the longer you wait to deal with it. Be a doer. Don't be like the Pharisees. Turn with me, and with this we close, to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Matthew 23. We close with Jesus as our perfect example. In Matthew 23, the whole chapter, well, just about the whole chapter, is Jesus calling out the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. These are the religious leaders, the ones who are in charge of prayer and spirituality and worshiping God. They were the religious ones who said, yes, we love God." Listen to this. "So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others." Jump down to verse 13. He says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Verse 16, woe to you blind guides. Verse 23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 25, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 27, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 29, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus is taking them to task because what they do does not match what they say. They're hypocrites. They might know the word, they might be hearers of the word, but they are not doers of it. Do not be like the hypocrites, these scribes and Pharisees. Your actions should match your words. You should hear God's word and go and do it. And so our faith response for tonight as we close. First, pray for humility during your Bible reading. When you have an opportunity to read God's word this week, pray for humility. Say, God, show me what in my life needs to change. Be receptive to what God's word is trying to teach you and show you. Practice meekness as you hear the word with humility. Secondly, as you read God's word, find principles for how God wants you to live. Come up with ways to put them into practice. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Actually have a plan to say, okay, there is sin in my life. God's word has identified it. Here is what I'm going to do about it. Here is how I'm going to pray about it. Here's how I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit to help me with it. Here are the people in my life that I'm going to ask to help keep me accountable. Do not look in the mirror and then walk away and forget what you look like. And so what I'm asking you for as we close tonight, that you really wrestle with what it is that God is speaking to your heart tonight. How is He challenging you to make a change? What sin can you identify and say, I know this isn't right, but I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to be a hearer, but I'm also going to be a doer. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this beautiful passage in James. We thank you for what it has to show us and to teach us about ourselves. And so, God, I pray that you would help each of us to identify those sins in our lives that we can only overcome through your help. And so, Father, I pray that your word would convict us tonight, that your spirit would do a work in us, that we would seek others to help and to guide us through sins that we're struggling with, that we can truly be the real deal, not like the scribes and Pharisees who are hypocrites, but that our actions would speak louder than words. We pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we close.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.